Hi, I'm Suzanne, compulsive overeater, binge eater, and bulimic. So grateful to be in recovery and so grateful and honored for this opportunity to share my story with all you incredible people who I've learned so much from and who helped me stay sober day by day. So, yeah, we're not a glum lot. So I was thinking I'd start with a joke. Or maybe I was thinking I could start like the spiritual teacher Eckhart Tolle does. He just sits there in silence for 3 to 5 minutes. So, but then we're on Zoom, so I was thinking someone would come in to Suzanne, your screen is frozen, or you're on mute. So I decided to just go straight to my story, and that's what I'm gonna do. And I don't think that I was born a compulsive overeater, and certainly when push comes to shove, it, doesn't matter anyway. But I do think that I was born, as most, if not all of us were, deeply connected to God, which I believe for me, God is not something outside of me. God is within me. It's in with within everybody and within everything. For me, we are all one. And I feel like I was born with that connection to God, to one, to it all. But my mother taught me at a very, very early age that if I'm not thin and beautiful, I'm not worth anything. I'm not lovable. Like, really, you are not lovable. No one will want to be with you or take care of you. I also learned very early on that food, especially sugar and flour, was my comfort. It was my solution to all those negative feelings of loneliness and sadness and boredom, fatigue, feeling like I was misunderstood, which is what I felt a lot of growing up. I felt very different from everyone in my family, and I had a lot of loneliness, and I definitely learned very early on that food, again, especially sugar and flour, was my comfort, my solution to those feelings. I was a beautiful, thin child. I was an athlete. But you know what often happens with girls, especially when they hit puberty, they naturally gain a few pounds as their bodies start to fill out. And my mother, and then of course me, was terrified, absolutely terrified that I would get fat. And there was a lot of shame around my body, around food. And I remember my mother once telling me, "You have a gymnast body. I prefer the ballerina's body." You know, there was just such shame. And she used to stock the house with every kind of junk food you could possibly imagine. But she'd say to me, "That's really for your brothers. You should stay away from that." And again, I was thin. You know, I was an athlete. So that's, the insanity began. I started dieting and sneaking food and hiding food. And, that was around in like middle school. And I obsessed over food. I obsessed over my body. I obsessed over weight. And for me, I think that I began to build a wall between me and my higher power, between me and myself, between me and everyone else and everything else. Like every binge was a brick in that wall. Every diet was a brick in that wall. Every moment of shame and guilt and self-loathing was a brick in that wall. And I just built it up and built it up until I was completely walled off. And I didn't even know it, you know. Of course, I'm walking around thinking everything's fine. And that's when that wall was built, I feel became an addict. And at that point, there was no turning back. I know that now. Back then, I didn't know it. I thought I could reverse the problem. You know, I figured I was a cucumber that became a pickle, but I could turn into a cucumber again. But there was no turning back at that point. But again, I didn't realize it. So it was in my mid to late 20s that I began purging by making myself grow up. And it's a very violent, self-destructive, self-loathing behavior. You know, when you're doing it, it's like, you know, it felt very violent to me, but I was desperate. I was desperate. I tried for decades upon decades to use self-knowledge, I studied nutrition, like unbelievably. I went to therapists, you know, on and off for years. It never helped. Therapy never helped. I mean, yeah, it made me feel better in that hour, in that day, maybe, but there were never any tools, you know, tools for, you know, how to fix it, how to take care of it, how to take care of myself. I tried willpower to try to control the situation, and of course, to no avail. The insanity and the self-loathing just continued. I was always either losing weight or gaining weight, losing weight or gaining weight. I never just was, you know, present in my body in this moment. You know, my family, I live in Massachusetts now. My family is in New Jersey. And, you know, they would never know when I would go down to visit. They would never know, are we getting the fat Suzanne or the thin Suzanne? You know, they would never say that, but I know that's what they were thinking because my weight just went up and down and up and down. And, you know, I was always starting my diet on Monday, you know, and binging and purging for the days leading up to my diet. And there were times when I actually felt and it seemed like I was abstinent, maybe even sober. But, you know, and I'd always say to myself, I'm going to do it this time. I'm going to do it this time. You know, and I really believed it. I really thought it. I have clothes in my closet from size, you know, 4 to size 16, you know, and I'm only 5 feet tall. Because every time I thought I'm going to do it this time, I'd go out and buy these nice clothes. And of course, you know, they still have the tags on them because I wouldn't do it that time. You know, I thought I was going to do it that time, but then just exactly like it's described in the big book, I would find myself on the couch alone, binging again. And I'd be like, how did this happen? You know, banging my hand on the table, just like in the big book, banging his hand on the bar. How did this happen? How did I get here? You know, I didn't know. It just seemed so insane to me. I did a lot of crazy shit. A lot of crazy shit. I married someone that I wasn't in love with, that I had nothing in common with. Walking down the aisle, I knew it was a mistake. Nice guy, but we had no connection whatsoever. And that was such a painful thing that I did to my soul. I mean, I rebelled so much after that in terms of going to food and using food. Abused my children. I abused my children when they were young. Out of fear and self-loathing, I was verbally, emotionally, sometimes physically abusive to them. And that's, you know, my biggest struggle now. I ended up in a psych ward for a week, you know, which actually turned out to be a pretty good experience. Oh, because you know what? You know why it was a good experience? Because I did what I did when I came to this program. I worked it. I took advantage of every minute of it, every tool that they had to offer. And so then finally one day I was given, thank God, the gift of desperation. I had gone to my, I was 56 years old. I had gone to my niece's wedding in New Jersey and I thought I looked okay. You know, I definitely wasn't at my heaviest, but then I saw pictures of myself and I was humiliated, embarrassed, disgusted. But I mean, I have dysmorphia, so I'm sure I didn't look quite as bad as I thought, but, I was disgusted and I was planning on starting another diet, yet another diet, and a really restrictive one at that. And I thought, 56 years old, this is insane. This is pure insanity that I'm going to do this again. And, you know, I just want at that point, I just wanted the insanity to stop more than anything. More than losing weight and looking good, I wanted the insanity to stop. And that's when I came to OA. I came in pretty much knowing that I was an addict, that I ate sugar and flour the way an alcoholic drinks, the way a smoker smokes. I was pretty clear about that, you know. You know, sitting like I'd be sitting on my couch having an argument with myself about should I eat that? I want to eat that. I want to go eat that. Back and forth, back and forth. And then I'd be like, I don't care. I don't even care anymore. I'm just going to eat it. I have to have it. You know, I'd have something to eat and I feel okay for a little while. And then all of a sudden that irritability and restlessness and discontent would just ease back in. And sometimes it was like really subtle, like you hardly feel it anymore after a while, but you know, I know that I needed something to eat. So I was pretty clear that I was addicted. I got a sponsor and we started working the steps. And that's when the miracles really started happening. I got abstinent, which for me was, clearly just the beginning and a definite prerequisite. I don't think I could have heard God's messages, heard God's guidance, saw his messages, you know, reconnected in any way to my higher power. I don't think I could have truly worked the steps if I weren't abstinent. That was definitely what I needed to do first, in order to be able to, reconnect with my higher power, and thus myself. I did the 12 steps and then I began to sponsor, which of course is one of the greatest gifts that the program has to offer. And the obsession with food was lifted, and that's like it's such an incredible miracle because, you know, I had nearly 50 years of obsessing over food, 50 years. And that obsession with food has been lifted because of this program, because of working the 12 steps and the tools that this program gives me. And I started to tear down that wall that wall brick by brick. I just started to tear it down. But for me, even this is just the beginning of my story, because each new day is the beginning of my story. Thank you so much. Each new day, thank you, Tracy. Each new day is really the beginning of my story. I like to say the nine step promises don't say that I will no longer be human. I am human, and my higher power removes my character defects on a daily basis, but only when I'm present and only if I ask him to. I need to do what's possible, and God will do for me the impossible. My character defects are still there for sure, and seem to pop up much more than I would like, much more often. But that's when I practice, or I try to practice, humility and acceptance and humility. That's when I practice those things. And now I turn to my higher power instead of the food. You know, I heard someone say on a meeting, you can't hate yourself into a version. I can't hate myself into a version of myself that I love. And that's fundamentally what this program is about for me, what this journey is about. It's all about, for me, learning to love myself. I've told my sons that when they were born, I loved them instantly. They didn't have to do anything to earn my love. They didn't have to achieve anything. They didn't have to look a certain way. They didn't have to get good grades or score a goal or make me laugh, nothing. I loved them and love them simply because they exist. And now that I'm abstinent and sober as a result of these steps, I have, and of course, because of you, that's what this journey continues to be for me. To love myself, not because of my job or my accomplishments or how intelligent I am or how funny I am, and definitely not because of my body or my looks, but because I exist, because I'm a human being capable of loving, capable of giving, and capable of hope. You know, one of my favorite lines in the Big Book is on page 158, where they say, he had found God, and in finding God, he found himself. And as I said, God is within me, and all I have to do is have the grace, the gratitude, and the awareness to seek him day by day. So thank you so much for listening. I am beyond grateful and beyond honored that you would all sit there and listen to me babble for 20 minutes. So thank you so much. And with that, I pass.